Welcome to Prosperity Talk with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business.
Welcome to Prosperity Talk. This is P. Christopher Music, the financial prosperity coach. I'd like to welcome you and congratulate you for taking steps on the route to financial prosperity by listening to this show. Today's episode is about protecting your assets from loss, and we'll get into the details of what exactly that means in a minute. This podcast focuses on the fundamental laws of prosperity and their application within today's economic and financial realities. Now, my job as a financial prosperity coach is to align correct solutions to your financial experience. You know, there are basic principles of prosperity that have been repeated over and over again by the sagest minds in history. And all of these principles that we're going to be exploring are in this body of knowledge that I call the Golden Route. It is a summary of 21 principles that I found most often repeated throughout history. Now, the financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator of how well you have understood and applied these principles. And it's my hope that as you use this wisdom to achieve what is most important to you. So my job is to help pave the way with correct knowledge. And that's why I'll be interviewing professionals that are truly rock stars at what they do, especially the innovators. The ones who have looked at the status quo and said, you know, I can create a better result than what is average here. And that's the kind of people I like to work with. I'm really excited about that because it really bridges the knowledge gap. One of the most valuable things we have is knowledge, and I think that we can benefit from sharing the experiences and insight of others. Now, as far as the Golden Route is concerned, we're going to be discussing a basic principle called protect your assets from loss. And this is a very important principle because it's all well and good to go out and create a bunch of wealth, but if we don't protect those assets from the multiple perils that can affect us, we end up going backwards, and that's not the whole purpose of financial prosperity. So, without further delay, since I promised you a rock star guest on Prosperity Talk, I would like to introduce today Ms. Brittany Maxey.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today, Christopher.
Well, thanks for being here, Brittany. Now, I've known Brittany for probably about 5 or 6 years now, and she is a true rock star in the world of intellectual property as an attorney specializing in this field on a federal level. And she has helped my company, Econologix Institute, and myself create a whole bunch of intellectual property that we use in the body of Econologix and in the Golden Route. And so I wanted to have her on the show today because I think it's very important to look at this area of your financial life in this area of intellectual property. And because she is one of the most knowledgeable people that I know in this area, I wanted to bring her on the show today. So, Brittany, I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Great. So what I want to do today is just interview on the subject of protecting your assets from loss as it relates to intellectual property, and discuss what successes you've seen your clients achieve by applying this principle in various industries of business owners and entrepreneurs, okay?
Perfect.
Okay, good. So first of all, let's tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, why you chose law as your profession, and specifically intellectual property registration and management. Basically, why you do what you do.
Well, I have an undergraduate degree in biological science, so in order to practice patent law, you have to be a scientist or engineer, and you take a separate bar exam. I loved the ideology of combining technology, science, engineering, and the law. As an entrepreneur at heart with my own law firm, I just love the idea that I get to meld all of those different pieces together day in and day out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have found that when someone has an interest just outside their very specific area, they actually do become innovators and truly rise to the top of their field, which I know you have done. So tell our listeners here, what is intellectual property and why go to the trouble of protecting it?
Intellectual property is everywhere. I'm sure that every listener today has experienced it in a plurality of different ways. They just may not have known it. So when we're looking at intellectual property from a patent standpoint, patents protect inventions, whether it's a chemical composition, a method of manufacturing, a machine, a software. Those pieces are protectable by way of patent law. Trademarks are brand identifiers. Trademarks help each consumer know that when they're purchasing your product or your service, that they are getting the same goodwill quality associated with that brand time in and time out. So trademarks protect brand identities. Copyrights protect a tangible manifestation in a creative work, which really means written works, if you've written any sort of literary work, theatrical works, movies. Music is very copyrightable, along with architectural designs, and some software is actually copyrightable as well. Trade secrets, on the other hand, they're the opposite of the other three. Exactly what it says they are is what they are. It's a secret. However, it has to be a secret that has an economic value tied to it. So with patent, trademark, and copyright law, those are all filed federally with the federal government. Trade secret is not a federal law. It's under the UTSSA, and it's a state action.
No kidding. You know, it's funny. We go through it, and we work a lot with the professionals. Mm-hmm. And as such, you know, we have logos, we have, you know, things that we write as far as policy and procedure for our own businesses. Mm-hmm. We have, of course, company names. Mm-hmm. People will write, you know, white papers, mm-hmm. or consumer guides or whatever the case may be. And we never really think about a lot of our marketing efforts, mm-hmm. being trademarked and copyrighted and protected under this intellectual property umbrella. So I find that that's one thing that's often overlooked when I do my seminars with people. Have you found the same in your line of work?
I have. I've seen businesses that have been in business for 20 years. Now they're at the end of the game and they're ready to maybe sell the business. One of the very first questions that people ask from a due diligence standpoint is, let me see your intellectual property portfolio and what have you protected? And for some of these areas of intellectual property, such as with patents, it needs to be protected before you disclose it. They may have lost financial prosperity in their book of business on the sale because they didn't take the necessary and requisite steps in the beginning.
You know, I see that happen a lot. I do these seminars and I ask people, so have you trademarked your, mm-hmm. your logo? And they look at me like, well, what do you mean? You know, have you gotten a federal copyright for, you know, something that you've written? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? So, yeah, I totally see where you're coming from as far as the need to protect those assets. All right, so if a business owner or entrepreneur doesn't have patents or trademarks or trade secrets or copyrights on their intellectual property, how should they go about getting them now? What is the best process to start them on getting protection?
Determining what has economic value in your business, when you stand back at the end of the day, that you would be absolutely heartbroken if that piece was stolen, that's really where you need to start. Because most things in your business, whether it's like Christopher said, it may be the policies, it could be customer list, it could be the computer software that was developed specifically for something, it could be a tool, let's say if you're a dentist, that assist you giving a better cleaning. All of those pieces can be protectable. So I think that people need to step back and talk to someone that is very knowledgeable in intellectual property, because there are boxes to fit you in for the protection. We just need to start.
Absolutely. Now, so like, for example, I'm going to cover this area about trade secrets again, mm-hmm. because I, in my own experience, have a tremendous amount of experience with the trademark side and having been an author of the copyright side of things. I don't have any patents because, you know, typically services, mm-hmm. or for what I do isn't really patentable so much. But give me an idea about trade secrets. Let's talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned the difference between federal, mm-hmm. and state protection. Mm-hmm. Go into that a little bit more about the trade secret area.
Yeah, with patent, trademark, and copyright, either the United States Patent and Trademark Office or the United States Copyright Office, they are the governing agency for those areas. However, there is not a federal blanket on the trade secret acts. So what would happen is if someone did some sort of espionage and ran off, maybe one of your employees took your trade secrets that you had protected, it would be a state cause of action instead of a federal cause of action. That's a little bit of the difference in where you would take your lawsuit to court. It's not like someone would infringe on your trade secret. It's more that they would take the trade secret and do something that they weren't supposed to do with it. one of the interesting things with trade secrets is it doesn't have to be super novel. So when we're looking at patents, determining should we go patent, should we go trade secret, we have to ensure that patentability has a very high novelty standard. So we have to ensure that it's a very novel product or service being offered. Trade secrets, it just needs to have a modicum of creativity. However, we have to look at how easily reverse engineerable it is. And that is something, for instance, with your computers. Trade secrets are not, because we don't file them, it's all in your actions. So if you guys have your whatever it may be, your proprietary recipes or customer list up for all of your team at your work to look at, you're going to have a hard time saying that was trade secret. You know, me as the CEO, I wanted to hold that customer list as a trade secret if everyone has access to the database and there's no passwords or anything of that nature. So those are things that if customer lists are very important to you, it needs to be on a as needed to know basis, and they need to be locked down.
Wow, that's a whole area that I find very interesting, because if you look at there's so many brands out there today that rely on their trade secrets to be able to survive and be competitive.
Yes, yes. And trade secrets are very good in the realm of customer list, software, the way that you just run your business, that can be trade secretable. And if you had any sort of fragrance or recipe, we see it a lot with Coca-Cola, for instance. You know, Coca-Cola, back in the day, they had some brilliant patent attorneys, because a patent only lasts for 20 years. If they would have gotten a patent on their soda, today anyone would be able to use it. However, what they did instead is they held it as a trade secret, because trade secrets don't have filing fees. They don't have durationary expirations. As long as you keep it as a secret, it stays a secret.
Fascinating. So, you know, because when I counsel people all the time in business to write up your policy and your procedures, you know, the methods on how you do business, you know, your procedures for your marketing, your procedures for your customer service, how you deliver your products or services, because that how are you going to create a business of value to somebody else if you don't put those systems in place, right?
Right.
So that can actually become a trade secret.
It could. You could go two ways with that, actually. You could go a trade secret realm and maybe have them in a manila envelope, marked confidential, locked in a desk drawer, or you could go the copyright realm, because anything that's written, it doesn't have to be, when I say literary work, people think, oh, I need to write a novel. It doesn't have to be that. It could be the notes that you sit down with your team. You can actually obtain copyright protection on those. So what we'd look at that point is, do you have to disclose the policy in order for your team to implement it? If the answer is yes, go copyright realm. If the answer is no, then go trade secret realm.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay, good. So, well, as we talked about, you know, intellectual property here, do you have an example of someone who waited too long to protect their intellectual property? And tell me what happened.
I do have some examples. Like I said in the beginning, you know, it's a very, very big question when people are either going to invest in a company. I just had that call this week of all my investors are asking to see what I've protected. Do I have anything filed? And that's a very big piece. It's also a piece if you go to sell the company down the road. They want to know what your intellectual property looks like. It's almost like if you invested into a building, into a piece of real property, because they want to, A, ascertain that they're buying something that's novel and unique from what everyone else is doing. Another reason they're looking at it is to make sure that you're possibly not infringing on someone else, and then they get a lawsuit down the road that I bought this business and now I've got all these infringements because this really wasn't unique content.
Yeah, that would be a bummer, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so now we better understand intellectual property and how and why to protect it. How does a business owner retain rights once they actually create intellectual property? What are some of the bases that we need to cover to make sure that we keep that IP we've worked so hard to develop protected?
Mm-hmm. If you're looking in the realm of inventions, it's extremely important now, because President Obama signed in the American Invents Act in pieces. But in March of 2013, we had a huge overhaul of the patent system, and we went from what is called first to invent to a first to file system. So it literally is now a race to the patent office. And if you disclose before you file, you can essentially cut your own head off. And there's just nothing worse than putting your blood, sweat, and tears into a product, disclose it. And I've even seen a disclosure from saying, how much will it cost to make this prototype as being a potential disclosure. So you need to talk to someone. If you've got inventions, you need to decide, do I want to go through the patenting process, yes or no, before you disclose it? Or there is a small, tiny window of a one-year grace period for inventors themselves, so you do need to talk to someone that can assist you with that. Trademarks, you can file trademark at any point. However, it is, again, a race to the trademark office. So if someone beats you to the punch, you're going to have to try to say, they stole this from me, and litigation is a lot more expensive than protection from the jump. Copyrights can be copywritten. I've seen people that have been passed away for 20 or 30 years, and their heirs have then gone and obtained copyright protection, because copyrights last for 70 years after the author's death if it's a individual, or if it's a business, 90 to 125 years, depending on the creation date and publication date. So copyrights, it's not as super imperative that you do it from the beginning. However, I will say, if someone does start infringing, a time clock starts for your damages window. Trade secrets, you must think about it before you disclose it, because once it's disclosed, it's done. With a trade secret, you cannot put the cat back in the bag once it's out.
Wow, that's an awful lot to think about. Yeah, I'm glad you do that, not me. So I have another question here, and we see names with little TMs on them, or R's with the circles. We see the C with the circle, you know, it means copyright, of course. Now, when do they go into effect? What does a TM mean compared to the R? Mm-hmm. You know, these different signages that we see. Kind of explain a little bit about what we're looking at when we look at those things.
Yeah, when you see common law rights and trademarks take effect the minute that you start using the mark in the stream of commerce. You don't have to file it. You can put the TM symbol. However, it's a super small geographically based state right. You cannot sue someone for federal trademark infringement without going through the entire process. So when you start using your mark in the stream of commerce, I would suggest that you do put the TM symbol on it to at least give you that small protection. You don't pay filing fees and you don't file it. So, again, it's a tiny amount of protection. Never put the R with the circle unless you've gone all the way through the federal registration. That is what it means. So if you're looking at anything, if you're looking at any sort of product in your office, even, you can see the R with the circle. That means that they've gone through the federal registration process, and they can sue an infringer in any state or the U.S. territories. It doesn't matter if that infringer is in a small geographical based location to you. You could be in California and we could be here in Florida, and they could still sue you for infringement.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that tells me if you really want to protect your intellectual property, we have to go beyond the state protections into the federal protections.
Yeah, you do, because it's a small, it basically is a different cause of action. If all you can put on it is a TM, you have to go through an unfair competition with business. So going back to my California, Florida example, it'd be hard pressed, unless you had some real examples, that you do business in Florida and that they're really affecting you in California. However, with federal trademark protection, you circumvent all of that, and it's a constructive notice type of situation, so you don't have to prove those sorts of things.
Fantastic. Okay, good. So now, before we wrap up here, what one or two tips can you give our listeners to help them get started right now protecting their intellectual property?
I think that it's really important to step back from your business and see what pieces that you have created or have had created for you. Check the contracts on those, because just because someone, you hired a person to do your website, does not mean that you own the content on the website. Typically, that stays with the creator of the work. So knowing what you're actually asking for people to create for you, and then assuring that those intellectual property rights are assigned over to your individual business, is very important. And seeing, is it a product that I have that I may want to look at patenting, because you need to do that sooner rather than later? Is it a brand identity that I have that I want to protect, whether it's a slogan, logo, wordmark, sound? Those things are all protectable by trademarks. If it's a literary work, that's copyright. And trade secret, again, is a secret that has an economic value.
Fantastic. Now, Brittany, how would our listeners contact you?
My last name is Maxey, M-A-X-E-Y, and our website is www.maxeyip, as in intellectual property law, .com, and it has all of our contact information.
Okay, great. And how could someone get a hold of you by either email or phone?
Our phone number is 727-230-4949. And the email is info@maxiiplaw.com.
Excellent. You know, it's funny. We've been working together for over 5 years now, and I think that with all the intellectual property we've done, I can tell, as a matter of fact, the work you've done has been excellent. So I'm really glad that you took the time out today to join us.
Thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
Well, great. Well, that's all we have time for today, and I'd like to thank Brittany of Maxi Law Offices for being with us today and sharing her experience and knowledge with us. Brittany, you truly are a rock star at what you do.
Thank you.
Our financial experiences, whether it's a good experience or a bad one, really comes down to one simple element, planning. And protecting our intellectual property is only one small piece of a business owner's planning process. You see, financial planning is a very misunderstood concept, but it's actually very simple. You see, we spend the majority of our time turning our time into money rather than turning our money into time. And, you know, we spend so much time with the job, the profession, our career and business. We really don't have that end all worked out. And we don't really think forward to figure out what kind of assets we're actually creating while we're going through our work to see what the transition plan is going to be. Because everyone goes through a transition plan, no matter what business you're in, to transfer the income, ownership, and control of that enterprise to somebody else. Either we do that or we end up closing it down, which, of course, is a loss of thousands to millions of dollars. So really, correct financial planning allows us to reverse a sequence where we could take the assets and the money we've created and convert that into time. And it's time that we can spend pursuing our most valued goals and purposes that are near and dear to us that we tend to kind of put off because we're spending our time working right now, converting money into time into money, rather than allowing that money to create time for us. So creating our intellectual property and protecting it really goes a long way to embedding value that can be converted into cash and income sometime down the road. So the question I have to ask you is this: what contributions could you make to your life and the life of those that you love if you had more time to pursue things that did not require you to be earning a paycheck or earning a living? And that really is why we do what we do. It all has to do with the quality of life. It all has to do with being able to achieve what's most important for you. So I want you to grab a pen and paper and answer this question. Based on what you learned, what one simple thing could you do today that would move you forward on the route to financial prosperity? I want you to write it down, and I want you to put it there and really make it happen for you. Now I'm going to invite you again to go to my website, www.pchristophermusic.com, for more information about me and what I do and my speaking engagements and writing and things like that, and these 21 principles of the Golden Route. I'd like to invite you to connect with me on really all the social media channels, because I think the more we have communication, the more discourse we have, the more we stay connected, I think the more we can do to keep really the correct advice, the correct information on the right line, so we always are reminded that if we put these principles into effect and we actually see them through, we will find the results of the financial prosperity that we seek. So join me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, and don't forget, my YouTube channel has some pretty cool information as well. So I invite you to follow me. I invite you to have a discourse with me and have a very positive financial experience while you live your art. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Prosperity Talk with the Financial Prosperity Coach, Christopher Music. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.